Ventilation management. Due to its far-reaching impacts, ventilation management is an essential component of infection control efforts. Therefore, a basic understanding of the key terms, concepts, and effects of ventilation on the health of patients and HCP is required. Key point. The most important concept to remember with regard to ventilation is that, no matter the healthcare setting, the impact of ventilation on infection spread and infection control efforts is wide-reaching. A heating, ventilation, and air conditioning (HVAC) system is composed of everything included in the overall air handling system for any facility. These systems supply, filter, condition, heat, cool, humidify, or dehumidify, and exhaust air using a wide range of designs and equipment, depending on the facility's environment, characteristics, and needs. When considering HVAC systems, the first important distinction to be made is whether the system is centralized or decentralized. A centralized HVAC system uses an air handling unit, usually on the roof or in a mechanical room, to move air throughout the facility using ducts. A decentralized HVAC system typically uses individual fan coil units to bring air in from outside of the facility and mix it with recirculated air inside the room. No matter which type of system is used, there are IPC implications with regard to both indoor air quality and issues related to ventilation problems. Key point. Though HVAC systems are infrequently a source of exposures or infections caused by airborne infectious agents, there may be dire effects throughout the facility when HVAC-driven exposures or infections do happen. Microbes such as Aspergillus and M. tuberculosis may be spread via HVAC systems, thereby posing risk to individuals in the facility. Air source. Some HVAC systems are designed to supply 100% outdoor, fresh air, whereas others mix a percentage of the exhaust air, subject to code allowances, with supply air from the outdoors to save on operational costs. Diluting microbial contamination and other gases and controlling odors are the biggest reasons for using 100% outdoor air. Due to the wide variation in climates, guidelines for facilities specify design requirements, but not operational ones, for air exchanges, temperature, and humidity. This leaves the decision on how often and by what means these should be monitored to individual facilities. Air changes. Most ventilation rates for healthcare facilities are stated as air changes per hour, ACH. ACH refers to the number of times air is replaced in each room every hour, mixing in outside air to dilute microbial contamination. Ventilation guidelines are defined in terms of air volume per minute per occupant. They assume that the people in the room and their activities are responsible for most of the contaminants in the space. Supply vents are where conditioned air blows into the room, usually from the ceiling. Return vents, or exhaust, usually near the floor, pull the room air in. Ventilation rates vary with different patient care areas of a healthcare facility per CDC guidelines. The total number in patient rooms should be 6 ACH. Operating rooms require a minimum 3 ACH and a total of 15 ACH, while an airborne infection isolation room, A2R, such as for bronchoscopy, requires a minimum 2 ACH and a total of 12 ACH. Peak efficiency for particle removal in an A2R occurs between 12 and 15 ACH. Air pressurization and balancing. Air pressure balancing describes the pressure relationships with respect to the surrounding area or corridor. These relationships can be positive, excess air supply in the room, negative, air drawn into the room, or neutral. Differential pressure between two rooms prevents pathogens from entering or exiting one room and going into the other. Positive air pressure is used to keep microbial contaminants and pathogens out of rooms and for immunosuppressed patients such as those undergoing bone marrow transplantation. Positively pressurized rooms are created by pumping more air into a room than exhausting, and are usually the cleanest environments in a hospital. Certain rooms, such as ORs and protective environment rooms, have mandated pressure differentials of at least 0.01 inch water gauge or 2.5 pascals. Loss of positive pressure compromises the aseptic environment within the room. Negative air pressure is used as an isolation measure to keep microbes from escaping from rooms and for patients with infectious airborne diseases, such as TB, measles, and varicella. Rooms such as A2R are negatively pressurized with respect to adjacent areas to prevent airborne contaminants. Example, microbial pathogens, chemicals, from drifting to other areas. Autopsy rooms, soiled linen rooms, decontamination rooms, emergency department waiting rooms, and bathrooms are all negative to adjacent areas. Loss of negative pressure in these rooms allows unpleasant odors to migrate through the building and may promote the spread of airborne contaminants. Neutral air pressure simply refers to situations where the air pressure is the same between two adjacent rooms. Air filtration. HVAC systems use pre-filters to remove gross particulate matter, minimum efficiency 30%. Filters that are 85% to 90% efficient are placed downstream of the fans, after the pre-filters. This combination typically provides an overall filtration efficiency of roughly 95%. High-efficiency particulate air, HEPA, filtration is defined as filtration with an efficiency of 99.97% in removing particles 0.3 micron or more in size. Most airborne infectious microorganisms fall into a range of 0.3 to 5.0 microns. The American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers, ASHRAE, has introduced a system for rating filters based on the size of particle or contaminant to be filtered. This measure of minimum efficiency reporting values, MERV, uses a scale of 1 through 16. The MERV system rates filter effectiveness using the percentage of efficiency for three ranges of particulate sizes: 30 to 1.0 microns, 1.0 to 3.0 microns, and 3.0 to 10.0 microns. Filters have higher efficiencies when filtering out larger particles. Below are examples of MERV ratings and their accompanying efficiency for particles 1.0 to 3.0 microns in size: MERV 8.20%, MERV 13.85%, MERV 15.90%, MERV 16.95%. Overall effectiveness depends on multiple factors, including filter efficiency, airflow rate, size of particles, and HVAC system design. Ventilation requirements for specific rooms. Facility ventilation requirements to control and minimize contaminants will vary depending on the type of room. For example, air pressure follows clean to dirty protocols. Negative to an infectious patient, positive away from an immunocompromised patient. Additionally, when required, minimized infiltration for ventilation control is achieved by sealing windows, closed doors, and surface joints. Positive pressure and HEPA filters may be preferred in some rooms and intensive care units, ICUs, caring for large numbers of immunocompromised patients. The type of room and its ventilation specifications must be considered when planning HVAC systems for a facility. Recommended temperature will vary from room to room, anywhere between 68 degrees Fahrenheit and 75 degrees Fahrenheit, and relative humidity should be between 30% and 60%. Exhibit 5-8 shows which rooms require specific pressure, room air changes, sealing, filtration supply, recirculation, and temperature. Exhibit 5-8. Ventilation specifications. Air ventilation implications for infection prevention and control. Each of the above concepts has implications specific to IPC. Some are driven by regulatory and accrediting agencies, which base licensing and certification decisions on whether facilities meet minimum construction standards. The Facility Guidelines Institute, FGI, updates its guidelines for the design and construction of healthcare facilities every 3 to 4 years. The Joint Commission, TJC, expects organizations to assess building design and construction requirements based on local, state, and federal regulations and codes. Typically, the state health department licensing entity is the authority having jurisdiction, AHJ, so healthcare organizations should check the AHJ's licensing rules to determine the criteria for a facility. When state regulations are silent on particular design criteria, TJC recognizes the 2018 FGI guidelines for new construction and renovation. Key point: most jurisdictions adopt the FGI guidelines in their entirety, or with some minor modifications, as minimum standards for design and construction of healthcare facilities. The FGI guidelines rely heavily on input from many professional and guideline-setting organizations, such as TJC. As with other regulatory implications, it is important that the IP stays up to date on current requirements that relate to their specific facility. Air sampling. Microbiologic air sampling is used to determine the numbers and types of microorganisms or particulates in indoor air. IPs should be part of a multidisciplinary team that determines the facility's need, capacity, and expertise to conduct microbial air sampling. In some cases, the services of an environmental microbiology consultant could be necessary. The lack of uniform air quality standards makes it difficult to use air sampling for quality control. At any point in time, samples may be affected by a variety of factors, including indoor traffic, temperature, humidity, and the air handling system's performance. Air sampling results must be compared with those obtained from other defined areas, conditions, or time periods. Air samplers are designed to meet differing measurement requirements, and no one type of sampler and assay procedure can be used to collect and enumerate 100% of airborne organisms. The sampler and/or sampling method chosen should have an adequate sampling rate to collect a sufficient number of particles in a reasonable time period for a quality representative sample. Aspergillus and fungi. Aspergillus SPP are molds occurring in decaying organic matter and may be spread via air and water. Multiple outbreaks have been reported in conjunction with intra-hospital or surrounding construction. Environmental sources of Aspergillus outbreaks in hospitals have been associated with open windows, contamination of particle board frames surrounding air filters, backflow of contaminated air from exhaust ducts, with contamination of filters, and gaps in filters and support frames. Prevention of aspergillosis exposures in healthcare settings includes management of the air delivered to patients with bone marrow transplants, BMT. BMT patients should be placed in rooms with at least 12 air exchanges per hour, with HEPA filtration, ideally with positive pressure when compared to the corridor, and well-sealed windows. Carpeting and dust-generating activities should be avoided in BMT areas. Water leaks should be promptly repaired to avoid mold growth. Hand hygiene, avoidance of crowded areas of the hospital, proper cleaning and disinfection of equipment are also important. Flowers and potted plants should not be allowed in areas where immunosuppressed patients are admitted, as they may harbor Aspergillus SPP and other fungi. Contingency plans. The infection preventionist should work with other departments in the healthcare facility to develop a risk aversion-based contingency plan for the expected or unexpected interruption of air filtration systems. These plans should consider the following: redundant or backup portable filters for protective environment, PEI, rooms, especially if major fans are not on emergency power backup. Education of IPs and staff about appropriate type and location of portable HEPA units, as well as how to block or filter air supply and/or return outlets. Safety procedures in the unit to include practices such as keeping doors closed whenever possible until ventilation is reestablished. Emergency ventilation service provided by backup power generators to maintain ventilation system in high-risk areas. Example, operating rooms, intensive care units, negative and positive pressure rooms, transplantation units, and oncology units. Alternative generators that engage within 10 seconds of a loss of main power. If the ventilation system is out of service, sufficient time must be allowed to clean the air and re-establish the appropriate number of ACH once the HVAC system begins to function again. Air filters may also need to be changed because reactivation of the system can disperse substantial amounts of dust and fungal spores. Verification testing should be conducted. Environmental monitoring. Detection and identification of certain HAIs. Example, healthcare-associated TB, single cases of aspergillosis in severely immunosuppressed patients, healthcare-associated varicella infections, may suggest HVAC malfunction. Analysis of postoperative surgical site infection rates and associated infectious agents may offer important clues to problems in the air system. Environmental monitoring may occur in the following ways. Visual monitoring. The visual monitoring of processes established for construction, renovation, or maintenance procedures is an important method for reducing the potential for infection from airborne contamination. Specifications and commissioning. Contracts should certify to an owner's satisfaction that all HVAC specifications have been met. They should include outcome criteria that use specific measures. Environmental air sampling and culturing. Sampling protocols and procedures in actual disease outbreaks are well substantiated. Routine microbiology surveillance. Use of routine microbiology sampling and culturing has not been recommended except as a part of an epidemiological investigation. There is no clear answer for initiating environmental surveillance in the absence of an actual or pending problem.